Father, we thank you for the love you've given us. We thank you that you have given us physical freedom. In this place, we have peace. But around the world, Lord, there are so many that are looking and longing for peace, where there will be no war, where there will be people who will be able to be free from dictatorship, free from hunger, free from many things that stops them from a relationship with you. Father, we pray that this morning you speak to our hearts, that we open ourselves to you, that your Holy Spirit move in us to understand your word, that your spirit would change and transform us, that more than anything, Lord, we walk out from this place a changed person. Father, we commit to you those who have special needs for jobs, those who have issues at home, those who have problems with their health. Lord, you are more than sufficient to meet our needs. And so we come humbly before you, asking for you to help us in our time of need. We also confess of our sin, for you have told us, Lord, that when we sin against you, if we confess, you will forgive. And so, Lord, we sincerely repent of our sins. Father, today we commit to you some of our churches in our districts that need your help, that need to grow in this area. We thank you, Lord, for GICF, for GCAC, that you have allowed us to come together as a church to be able to meet last Sunday for a congregational meeting. So, Lord, may the decisions that we make be blessed by you. Father, we give this time to you in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. The Lord is my shepherd. A very familiar Bible text. I just came back yesterday from a funeral. I went up to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, for the funeral of a 98-year-old lady who used to attend our church in the District of Columbia. So that this is the text that was read. We find that oftentimes we call out to God in our time of need, particularly when we say, when we go through the shadow of the valley of death. It's a reminder that all of us, we're just journeying through this earth. We needed the help from God. Now, this is the third of a series. The first one, we talk about Jesus. This is Jesus, he's my God. Second, this is Jesus, he's my healer. Now, last week, we had a lot of people come up here to pray for healing. Now, if you are one of those, and if God has touched you and healed you, I want to know about it. The church needs to hear your testimony. You've heard testimony last Sunday. But your testimony makes a difference because it makes that God is indeed working in your body, healing you. It may be a broken relationship. It may be anxiety, depression. It may be a physical challenge. So if God touched you, come and share it and give glory to the Lord. So this morning, we're going to talk about Jesus. This is Jesus. He's my shepherd. Now, when we think about the shepherd, we have many images. However, this morning I want to talk about he's my shepherd because he's the good shepherd. He is the chief shepherd. He is the great shepherd. So three aspects that we probably have not heard much about. So there are Bible texts that we'll be using. We've read already from Psalm 23rd, and we will be reading from John chapter 10, 1 Peter, and also in Hebrews. So we are familiar with the Lord is my shepherd. Why is he the good shepherd? Now, John chapter 10 talks about that when Jesus said there's a thief. The thief, what? He climbs over and he comes to destroy and kill the sheep. But he said, I am the good shepherd. Why is he good? Because the good shepherd laid down his life for his sheep. Now, throughout the scripture, we find that God, number one, had called Israel his flock. He is the shepherd of the whole of the Israel, of the Jewish people. But then in the New Testament, we see that now, as Jesus talked about the flock being scattered and how he gathers them back again. And Jesus is the one who said, I lay down my life for my sheep. And he did that on the cross because all we like sheep has gone astray. Yeah, but he has come to forgive us of our sins. So we also find that Jesus is the good shepherd because the sheep would follow him. My sheep hears my voice, he said. They know me, and I know them. In John chapter 17, he had his special prayer to God. He said, God, all those you have given me, I have not lost any one of them. So Jesus came seeking the lost sheep, you and I, and he said, I'm going to hold on to them. Not one of them will be taken away from my hand, but you have given them to me. So when we look at this, Jesus has a special relationship with us. He is the one who sacrificed himself. He is the one who says, I am that good shepherd. Now we want to take a second look, which is Jesus as the chief shepherd. We don't hear a lot about this. Okay, what is a shepherd? We find that in the Bible it's used differently. Three Greek words, different Greek words, but the same connotation in there. Now, Peter is writing here to believers who were going through difficult persecution. And the church has been under the administration of elders. And here he is writing to them in the closing part of 1 Peter. Let me read. The elders who are among you, I exhort. I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of the Christ, but also am a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lord over them who entrusted to you, but being example of the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. So here, Peter is exhorting them. He says, look, I am among you as an elder. I'm trying to move this forward. Am I not able to? Let's see. So there we go. It's underlining the word shepherd, elders. Okay. Now, in a church, we have elders. Now, last week, we elected one person to be elder. So we are grateful for the willingness to serve. So when we think about elders, what do we have in mind? We said, well, the church is run by a plurality of elders. We don't see the church only have one elder. Okay. Now, what's the difference between a shepherd, an elder, an overseer? Now, Peter actually used all of these three words in the Greek, okay, to identify really one same responsibility. He said, as an elder, I am among you as one of a number of elders. The word is presbyteros in the Greek. So when we see a Presbyterian church, that's what it means. Okay, it's a church that is really run by the elders. Now, the word itself also means an older man who is wise, who is experienced. So the church needs elders in the sense of those who are wise and experienced. But at the same time, if we look into Ephesians chapter 4, the elder is actually an office that is held. Okay, there are teachers, there are pastors, evangelists, apostles. So we find that that's a number of ministry that is held. So an elder, first place, is one who is mature believer. The second one is he is called an overseer, episcopos. You heard of Episcopalian church? Okay, so they have an order. It's an oversight. Now, we as a Christian Missionary Alliance, in one sense, we have oversight. That's why we have a district superintendent. So basically, he's my boss. Okay, I answer to him. So there is an oversight, one who oversees what's happening in the church. The third one that we use is shepherd. The Latin translation is pastor. So I'm here as a pastor. I'm here as an elder. I'm here as the advisory pastor who have an oversight of this church. So I play all three roles. Now, so you understand now, when you look upon calling a pastor, your next pastor is going to come, will have all these three responsibilities. So we come respecting what they will do. Actually, Peter, the author of Hebrews, talked about that in chapter 13. Obey the leaders who have oversight over you. So this is something that we have to have in mind as we think, who are we going to call to be our pastor? How are we going to work with him? What are his responsibilities? So these are some of the things I hope that we have a clearer understanding. Now, in 1 Timothy 3, it talks about all the qualifications that is needed for an elder. Philippians 1, actually, if you look into I look into this in the Chinese version. It's very interesting. Most Chinese translations are translated as overseer. Overseer. Only in one place that they used mushi, okay, or which is a pastor, and then elder. So as we look into this, we have an understanding, why is Jesus called the chief shepherd? Because if there's a chief, what? There are followers, then there are under-shepherds. I like under-shepherds, because that's what Peter is telling the church. Look, we are just serving you, but we answer to the chief shepherd. Now, in my other two churches that Nancy and I have a privilege to start, we have a leadership training course that I started out. We call them the under-shepherds. So basically, for about 6 months, we look for men who have qualifications, who wants to be trained, are trainable, teachable, and we train them. And God has been good. They are trained, and they have been serving as elders. Now, elders is, we have to understand church polity have it differently. Some churches, when they ordain an elder, they are an elder for life. That means they serve lifelong. But in the Christian Missionary Alliance, it's an office with a term limit. So we say, okay, you serve for 3 years, that's it, and then unless you're elected again. Now, these are just polity. It has nothing to do with the Bible where the ordained elder is lifetime or not. So the whole thing is one call, one's calling. Are you called by God to be an elder, to be a pastor, to be a missionary? Even as a believer, we have to understand our calling that fits into the purpose that God calls us to be. So beyond looking at the position or the title, and this is very important, when we were here some years ago, we did have one man who moved down from Boston. He told me, he said, I'm an elder in the Boston church, and I could be an elder here too. I said, I'm so sorry. We don't recognize you're being an elder somewhere else. It has to be in the local context. What did Peter say? I am as an elder among you. So the elder who serves effectively is one who is in with his flock. Jesus, that's why he said, I am the shepherd. The shepherd leads the flock, and the flock hears his voice, listen to him. So we can't just have a guy who say, I'm transferring here my membership, I'm transferring my eldership. No such thing. So we understand that, okay? And in Washington, D.C., I have the same thing. I have the one. Somehow it's only going to deal with Chinese elders. They're particular. They think, oh, I'm an elder. Let me come to your church and be your elder too. I said, no, thank you. They never come back. Okay, so you never know. We are called to humbly serve the flock, and it is God's flock. So look at the designation here. Can you see those letters? Okay, so designation elder is presbyterus, a mature man with experience. An overseer is one who exercises oversight. And a shepherd looking at the tender care and protection to feed the flock. So we have an understanding now of the word there for a shepherd. It's the same as we would use for an overseer, same as an elder. Now, what do they do with their position? It's always among the congregation. Must be from the congregation and must be in among the congregation. It's hard. When I started in ministry, we have an elder. I was in a Presbyterian church, a Chinese Presbyterian church, in San Francisco, Chinatown. And elders oftentimes don't show up. I have an elder who, when the senior pastor calls a meeting because he lives out in the Berkeley area, he doesn't show up, and he won't give his phone number. At that time, there's no email. So the pastor had to send a telegram. Anything to call him, send him a telegram. So this, I'm saying that the church can make a lot of mistakes. When we fill a title, when we fill a hole, fill an office with unqualified people, because we have to have the numbers. That's not the way a church to be run. And so we will find, if we look in the book of Acts, how serious they take the responsibility of elders and pastors. So when we look at their work, they are not to what? Lord it over them. You're not the boss. We're here to serve. And then they are to be shepherding the flock of God. It's not my flock, not my church. It is God's flock. So understand, when you call a pastor or appoint an elder in this church, it's great responsibility. So what is the work of the shepherd? What are they supposed to do? So we find that he is supposed to feed the sheep. Sheep will become malnourished if they are not fed. To guide them in which way they are to go. To protect them from attacks. And this is why an important part about elders, they need to know the scripture. False teaching creeps in. And there are all kinds of temptations that are out here. Even in doing good works. How many times have I received invitations to say, could you consider sending a short-term missions team here to Pakistan, to India, to Africa, to China? We don't check out these groups in their beliefs. We need to check out, doing the good work, sharing the gospel is important, but do their beliefs fit in with the same belief that we have? Who is Jesus Christ? What is the Bible? The infallibility and inerrancy of Scripture. So these are some of the things that we need to check out with any groups that we partner with, so that when we go out, we have clear understanding of why we are there. So the shepherd, the elders, have that clear responsibility to protect the sheep from false teaching. We find that heresy. In the time of Jesus, in the time of the apostles, heresy was rampant. Even after Christ died and was resurrected, many, many false teaching. And that's why even Jesus said, you know, in the end times what happens, people will come and say, this is the Messiah. Here you can find them. But Jesus warned against that. So we need to be careful about that. So to oversee is to superintend and direct the affairs of the church. And this is an important part for us as an Alliance church here. Now, last week, the congregation approved trimming down the minimum number of governing board members. From minimum 9, now we 7 will be good enough. So we say, well, we are a smaller church now, but 7 would be sufficient. And having a majority elder in that 7, in that group of minimum of 7. So this is good. The idea here is that the elders have responsibility to direct the mission of the church and even our vision where we should be going. Because they are to watch out for the souls under their care. Again, very important part. The shepherd is to serve. We're not here to make decisions alone. We're not here to say, this is how we do things. We're here because somebody is hurting. When Jesus looking out for that one lost sheep, he was thinking about the danger the lost sheep will have, the bruises that that lost sheep would have, how malnourished that lost sheep would be. And so that is the overall caring. And this is important. Caring ministry is not something that you just designate to a group of people. Okay, they're in charge of benevolence. They're in charge of taking care of, you know, the sick. The number one priority here is the spiritual caring. And that belongs to the elders who need to take the lead. So the position of serving is in there because you're not to lord it over them. So, the Apostle Peter, he gave the example that they are to be examples of the flock, even as he himself is an example. So I hope that this is, gives us a clear picture of your elders and your pastors. Okay, they are your pastor in a way as a shepherd. They are your elders in the one who, in a way that they have mature wisdom guiding the church, and they are overseers as they lead this church. So when you elect an elder, last week we did. We are thankful for the elders who have served this church, and we're thankful for those who have fulfilled their terms. But understand, over them is the chief shepherd, and that is Christ himself. So when we come to this other part, so we understand Jesus as the shepherd, the good shepherd. Understand him as the chief shepherd. What about Jesus as the great shepherd? Hebrews 13. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, the author of Hebrew is now saying that Jesus died and was resurrected. If you think about the power of the resurrection, we don't have to wait till Easter. Actually, we can experience here every day. We won't be able to live the Christian life if we were not under the power of the resurrected Christ. And that resurrection, what did we find in the book of Acts? that because Christ died and was resurrected, God put him what? Raised him up to be at his right hand. And that's a ruling that is a way of overseeing his church. So when we look at the great shepherd, it's interesting. Friends who are Muslim, what do they always call? Allahu Allah. I gotta say Allah. Okay. God is great. It's a phrase that they always use. God is great. Can we say that? We sang that song this morning too. We talked about God who is great. How great is he in your life? When you talk about great, we talk about expanded authority. And that's who he is. And that's based not on a title, but on what he did. When God allowed him to come to this earth, to die for our sins, and then to be raised up again. So when we think of Jesus now, we say, okay, we need to be following Christ. What is a Christian? He is or she is a follower of Christ. And that's what we, part of our mission is, that we'll be authentic followers of Jesus Christ. So when we do this, when we acknowledge him as Lord and Savior, he equipped us to do his work. Now that may the God of peace through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Wow, God has a purpose for you. God has something for you to do, and he will equip you to do it. What is your purpose in life? What is your purpose in this church? Besides attending, you are needed here to find your place of ministry. There's a lot of needs, but we need to be discerning. We need to find out, okay, how had God gifted me to serve? What are the needs that are here? Now, we don't just jump into doing something because there's a need, because a need is not something necessarily that you can fulfill. Look at our armed forces veterans today. Okay, you all have gone through training, specific training. I know I probably won't qualify. I always want to be in uniform, you know, but I know I won't qualify because I don't have the physical agility as you do. But this is where you have to look at. Where is God calling you? What does he want you to do? I think yesterday I just watched about this basketball player, 7-foot player, who gave up a career with the NBA to join the Army. He said, that's my passion, basketball and serving my country. He make a lot of money being a professional basketball player, but he said, my country needs me, and I think this is the best way for me to serve. So when you look at what God is calling you to do, he will equip you. Now, equipping is a number of things that is required. Number one is humility. Am I teachable? And this is important. When we think we got it all, we cannot serve effectively. When I ask, am I teachable, that means, do I need some training? And this is important. That's why I'm gathered under shepherds before, to just come together to pray, to learn, to grow, to fellowship. Actually, when we talk about training, the most important thing is relationship. Training is not all up here. Training is not all about doing. If you don't have a right relationship with your trainer, it's not going to happen a whole lot. Training, equipping also has the part of accountability. Am I accountable? Am I doing a good job? Or can I just say, I did my best? And we hear this a whole lot. You know, understand, I got a job, I got a family, I have a house to take care of, I have a whole lot of stuff, you know. At least I did my part. Well, that's not enough, because we are accountable to the chief shepherd. I mean, I can be a lazy pastor. I can just say Saturday morning. I know there are pastors who do Saturday morning prep for the sermon. I feel for them. Many of them hold down jobs. It's bivocational. It's really tough. But I respect for many who work very hard to prepare their sermon in order to feed the flock, in order to care for the flock. And so ask ourselves, am I willing to be equipped for him? So lastly, I want to mention one thing here about Jesus. Because he is, after all, the overseer of our souls. Very important here. You were like sheep who've gone astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Who do you give accountability to? In final reality, it is Jesus himself. And so we have to ask ourselves a question here. Who is Jesus to you? Is he your shepherd? If he's your shepherd, is he the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, and the great shepherd to you? And so the question to ask is, am I relating to him? When pastors go to a church to preach, guest speakers oftentimes don't know the congregation. And when you have a pastor who is regularly here, he knows you, and you need to relate to him. Things are so different today in our society where there is not a whole lot of trust anymore. It's hard now to even schedule an appointment. Can I come to your home to visit? We find that in our ministries for almost 40 years, it's often us who open our home. Can you come to our home? It's a lot easier for us that way than for us to get an invitation to go to somebody's home. But that relationship starts oftentimes with a meal. It starts with casual conversation, but sincere recognition of building that relationship. And so, are you relating to Jesus, or are we just saying, I'm a believer? How are you relating to him on a daily basis? Do you talk to God by prayer? Do you read his word? And this is important. If you want to acknowledge him as the good shepherd, you must be able to hear him. And then the question that we ask now, am I relying on him? A lot of things we can do with our own human strength, but God, through his Holy Spirit, is the one that's going to equip us to do his work. So yesterday in the funeral service, I gave them the benediction that I gave earlier here, and that is from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Wong. This time I would like to... AV, do you get the slide? Get ready for the offering. And there's a slide that has a reminder, actually. And as soon as they bring it up, which says, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. You see it more? Keep going. Oh, it's the other slide deck. Anyway, it's okay. Let me read it to you again, the verse that's coming from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. You can take the slides down right now. Just take it down. Thank you. Which says, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. Sometimes we feel that giving is an obligation, but more importantly, we need to know that giving needs to accompany with grace from above. That we had to learn how to give graciously and cheerfully. We learned from last week's congregational meeting that our offering, projected offering for this year, we will experience a $38,000 deficit. Although the treasurer reassured us that there is enough reserve to cover that for this year. I think it's a good reminder that that we need to learn sound finance even within the church, and therefore if there is any call that you sense a nudging from God to give, there's still another month and a half to make that projection deficit smaller. So take that for what it's worth from the Lord. Now, may the ushers please come forward as we receive the offering. Let us pray. Father in heaven, Lord, you have taught us how we ought to give, and that we must learn how to excel in grace as we give. And Father, teach us this lesson today, Lord. Because we acknowledge that everything we have are from you and is for your purpose. So help us, Lord, and receive this offering for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I'd like to give you a chance to complete taking the offering before I move on to the next part. Because this is where it's more than just dropping something in the plate. As you put your offering in,